Yeah, very well. Thanks. Absolute pleasure to have you back on the daily program this week.
Yes, great.
Looking at the Iran nuclear deal, we all saw those claims from the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that claimed Iran was in some way already violating the deal. It almost certainly fed into Donald Trump's decision to tear up the agreement. Firstly, do you think the Iran nuclear deal, as it previously stood, was effective in halting Iran's nuclear proliferation?
Oh, it certainly was. The U.S. itself several times confirmed that Iran was conforming to the terms of the deal, and the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is responsible for inspecting Iranian facilities, has also confirmed that. It seems quite clear that Iran has wound back its nuclear program significantly, and the terms of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, as it's called, were working.
Iran has announced that it's prepared to resume large-scale uranium enrichment without any restrictions unless Europe can guarantee that the economic benefits from the 2015 agreement can remain. What do you think is going to be the next sort of move by the major players in this agreement?
Well, the next move is the EU will implement what's called a blocking regulation, which prohibits European companies obeying the US sanctions, provides for fines against European companies which do enforce the US sanctions, and also provides for what's called clawback, the capacity to sue American entities responsible for enforcing sanctions in European courts. And this is the most important aspect of the nine-point plan. It's possible it may work. This is previously in the 90s under the Clinton administration, the EU did implement the blocking regulation in respect of US sanctions against Iraq, Libya and Cuba. And there were subsequent negotiations with the US, which resulted in the US agreeing not to enforce the sanctions against European companies. The difficulty, of course, is that, there are two difficulties. The first is that the Clinton administration was clearly more flexible on these matters than the Trump administration is. And there are also doubts about whether the blocking regulation will be effective against European companies that do extensive business in the US.
Yeah, I mean, you touch on it there with the word flexibility, but given who is currently sitting in the Oval Office, do you think this is likely to cause some fairly large tensions between the EU and the United States?
That seems clear. The Trump administration, of course, has had a propensity not to follow through on some of its harsher measures. So it's possible that there could be some flexibility, but given the very firm attitude of the US and the particular antagonism that the Trump administration displays towards Iran, it would be wise not to bet on that flexibility being available this time.
What would it actually mean if this nine-point plan is ineffective and Iran withdraws from the deal, says, I'm going to go my own way, as we were doing previous to 2015?
That would mean that that Iran would resume its nuclear program, at least in part. Iran has consistently confirmed that its nuclear program is peaceful, but it's fairly clear that it was engaged in activity which could lead towards the development of a nuclear weapon. So the risk would be that Iran resumes its nuclear program, particularly resumes its enrichment program, which produces fuel which can be used in a nuclear weapon. And Trump, of course, has threatened severe action against Iran if it did. The next step, if Iran isn't satisfied that the Europeans will be able to guarantee the full benefits of the agreement, would be restarting its full enrichment program, and that would then raise a question of whether the US was prepared to take firmer action, including military action, which of course will be an extremely serious step. At the moment, the EU is attempting to guarantee the full benefits of the deal, but there's serious doubt that it will be able to do so. So there is a very large risk that Iran would then decide that that it's no longer bound by the deal and would resume full enrichment activity.
We know Donald Trump is perhaps a little bit unpredictable in his dealings. He hasn't necessarily been unpredictable in this one, however. He's been a long-time critic of the Iran nuclear deal ever since 2015 when it was originally signed. But talking about, again, Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel's kind of evidence that they produced, the kind of interference they had in making sure this deal was torn up by the United States, why on earth would Israel want this deal to sort of be done? Why would it want the Americans to actually tear up this one, given the spectre of Iran having nuclear weapons is surely something that Israel would be rather cautious about?
Well, of course that's right. And there have been indications that some of the senior advisors of the Israeli government in the military and the intelligence community were in favour of the deal remaining. But it was Netanyahu's very firm political opposition to the deal, which of course prevailed in the Trump administration. I mean, the general point is that given the current very volatile situation generally in the Middle East, particularly between Israel and Syria and Israel and Iran, the US was very unwise to take this particular time to tear up the nuclear agreement and throw another element of uncertainty and tension into what's already a very volatile situation.
And just finally, how do you foresee the Iran deal fallout actually affecting talks with North Korea? The United States sitting down at a table, supposedly, theoretically sitting down at a table with North Korea to discuss their own denuclearization.
Yeah, well, that's, of course, another reason why it was a particularly a bad time for the US to decide to do this. The Trump administration's view is that this will show North Korea that the US will only support a very strong agreement on denuclearization. But the downside is obviously that it may also say to the North Koreans that the US can't be counted on to preserve any agreement it makes in this area. It was a bad time to choose to do this. It throws an extra element of uncertainty into the negotiations with the North Koreans, which are already, as we've seen over the last couple of days, already very touchy.
Kevin, absolute pleasure getting you on the program. Thanks very much for your insight this morning.
Cheers, John.
That was Kevin Borham from the Australian National University's College of Law, speaking to us about the 9-point economic plan being engaged with by the European powers to rescue the Iran nuclear deal.